Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we humble ourselves before you today as we are oftentimes living in what we feel is moments of scarcity. But you call us, Lord, to be a people of abundance, the abundance that you have promised us made possible through your bread of life. And so I pray today that the hearts of those who hear this message may be filled with abundance always in you. And may the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, most of you know that for me growing up, it was not easy. My mom was raising four of us on her own when she divorced my father when I was only 7 years old. And then pretty soon we went to government-owned housing, and we were living on food stamps, and we were fairly poor, although I never would have known it if you were just to ask me as a child, because there were two staples in our household that we always had. It was rice and hot dogs. And still to this day, I still have a craving every once in a while for just rice and hot dogs, and I have to have it. We didn't have a whole lot, but we did in the grand scheme of things. We always had a pretty nice home that was offered to us by the government. And I still remember when I was in fourth grade and I was having to carry all my supplies for school in a paper bag because we didn't have the money for my mom to buy me a book bag. So at the end of that year, the teacher came up to me and handed me a brown satchel. And the brown satchel she said, this is so you can put all of your things in there so you don't have to use the brown paper bag anymore. And I didn't mind using the bag. It served its purpose and got my things to school and back. But for years and years, I carried that bag around. Even through high school, I had duct tape all over it and stuff because I was mending it and, got pretty dirty and everything. And I wanted to keep it. So when I left for college, I put it in the attic of our home. And, of course, when I came home from break, I go up there and I was like, I really need that book bag for college, too. So I went up there to grab it, and I couldn't find it, and found out my mom had sold it in a yard sale. I was so upset. But the point is that for me, I kind of understand what it's like to have little. And so for me, I tend not to live, outside of my means. I have what I need. I don't need the fanciest thing in order to function in my home. But I still remember to this day when my mom came to see me in my very first call in Texas when I was serving a church in Pflugerville, Texas. And she walks in, I was living in a parsonage that was provided for by the church. And, they had gutted it and refurbished it and everything for me. And I loved the house. It was a four-bedroom house that I had to myself. And, with a nice garage and everything. And I had everything that I needed. And so my mom walks in, though, into my kitchen. And she goes, "What is this?" She's like, no. What? This is not a toaster. It looks like it's about 20 years old. I said, it probably is. I picked it up at a yard sale. And she goes, and what is this? What is this cutting board you have here? It's got all cut up and everything. Yeah, that's why it's called a cutting board, Mom. I did not argue with my mother. She insisted on taking me out to replenish everything that was in my kitchen, all my appliances and stuff. Did I need it? No. But to her, I think it's my mom's mentality that because we always had so little, that now she feels like she has to have better. And so I try to remind her that, even though we didn't have a lot when we were younger, we really did have a lot compared to others. See, economics are taught to look, economists, sorry, are taught to look through the lens of scarcity. In fact, here's a definition I got from definition.com. The study of the allocation of scarce resources among competing ends. In other words, there isn't enough to go around. Enough money, enough time, enough land, any resource. And economists are devoted to studying how these scarce resources are distributed. So some people call economics the dismal science, because it's based on the view of the world that there is not enough. There is never enough. It's a common way to look at the world. In fact, I would say that this is exactly how the disciples were looking at the world in their time when they looked out and saw 5,000 people sitting on the grass. But Jesus saw a teachable moment. You know, the feeding of the 5,000 is probably familiar to all of you. It is the only parable that appears in all four Gospels. In fact, it sets out this very fascinating exchange, though, between Jesus and the crowd and what Jesus means to be the bread of life. And as I mentioned last Sunday, for the next couple weeks, you're going to hear me preaching about the bread of life. But one of the things that we learn from this story is that Jesus is going to feed this crowd, even though the people following him were there for the wrong reasons. Why were they following him? It tells you this in the story. Because they saw him doing all of these signs and everything, and so they figured they'd come and get a show. Oh, Jesus is out there. Oh, yeah, that's that dude that, you know, changes water into wine and walks on the water. Let's go see what else he's going to do. That's why they were there. Did Jesus care why they were there? No. He decided he was going to feed everyone, and he was going to preach his message to everyone to teach them about the kingdom of God. He doesn't care why they're there. He begins by asking, well, Philip says, where are we going to buy bread? And of course, we know this boy comes forward. And then it doesn't take an economist to figure out that they didn't have enough to feed the crowd. But the problem is that the disciples are looking through the lens of an economist. They're looking at the scarcity instead, not looking through the lens of Christ. These guys had traveled with Christ all over the countryside, seen him do miracle after miracle and bringing people back to life and healing people. And yet they look out and they see this crowd and they don't think that Jesus can feed them all. That's crazy. And so Jesus doesn't follow the rules of economics. Jesus, through the lens of abundance, not scarcity, is how this message is fulfilled. So here's a story that I read some time ago. It was right after 9/11. And as you might recall that on 9/11, all airline traffic had stopped. And so planes were circling cities over and over again, waiting to get clearance to land. So in Newfoundland, Canada, this is the story that 38 planes were in the air, circling Newfoundland, Canada, waiting to land. And they had to land at the first possible place because they were running low on fuel, which just happened to be the smallest town ever. And so two-thirds, the number of people that were in these airplanes, 7,000. That was two-thirds of the population of the city they landed in. Now, it would have been very easy for these people to panic. Oh my God, how are we going to feed these people? How are we going to house these people? What are we going to do? But instead, everyone that got off those planes helped people in the community to figure out where everyone was going to stay, getting food for everyone, even providing entertainment. They did not look at the problem through the lens of scarcity. They looked through the lens of abundance. And see, it's difficult to do, though, isn't it? To look through the lens of abundance. Everything around us teaches us that it isn't true. Even when we have enough, we are taught in many and various ways that we need more. I gotta keep getting more, right? I don't know about you, but this is actually true. My sister Tamara has changed jobs in the last 5 years 7 times. 7. You know why? She wants to keep climbing that ladder. And she knows that if she doesn't get into the right position, you know, she's not going to be at the top of her field. And so she keeps switching jobs in the hope that the next one is going to get her closer. And if I'm honest, when I was in the corporate world, I was doing the same. How can I continue doing what I was doing and be the best at that in the game? You know what it was? I used to sell lighting, really. I can tell you anything you want to know about lighting. More than you probably want to know. And so I kept climbing that ladder until I was working for one of the largest lighting companies in the United States. And then I became the inside sales rep for the biggest distributor of lighting he was distributing lighting for Zales and big companies like Walmart and other companies of that caliber. Anyway, my point is this, though. We cannot continue to look at our world through scarcity. Why? Because then we create the persona of scarcity in our mind. Let me read you for a moment. This is a book that I read some time ago by Monica Helwing, and it's called The Eucharist and the Hunger of the World. I'm going to just pick it up here in about the middle of this. It says, "It has been observed in the contemporary world that those who most insistently complain as adults of finding that hunger unfulfilled are those who are individually and collectively are amassing and hoarding and wasting so much of the material resources of the world that others are kept on the verge of starvation in great numbers." Do you know how much we waste as a nation? We could solve world hunger by what we throw away. Did you know that? By what we give, what we have extra, right? But here's what I want you to hear, is that through the lens of scarcity, you will never have enough. And your soul will continue to hunger for the things of this world. And all you need to do is turn on the television and then you see the newest car. The newest phone. For me, it's electronics. If I see something new out there that I'm like, oh God, I gotta have that. I need that. I need the new tablet. Yes, I need it for my soul. Do I really? No. No, you don't. And as long as you continue, though, to live in this world, that's our sinful nature that is doing that. But here's what I want you to hear above everyone else, and I want you to repeat these two phrases with me. These are the fundamental truths of this text and the way we should live. That with Jesus, there is always enough. With Jesus, there is always enough. Without Jesus, there is never enough. Without Jesus, there is never enough. All right, so I'm gonna get real with you now. Y'all have seen the budget and our current financial situation. And you know, you look at that and you go, oh man, I don't know how we're gonna make it through this year. God, boy, we just need some more members. We need to do this, we need to do that, and I just don't see it all adding up. But I'm going to give you a little tip of how it happens. Because what did Jesus do when he first got the bread and the fish? What did he do? The very first thing. He blessed it. He lifts it up and gives thanks to God, which is the same thing that we do here whenever we collect offering, right? And whenever I serve those sacraments, I remind you all of that too. So he gives thanks, and then it says there was enough to feed everyone. He was looking through the lens of abundance, not scarcity. And so here's the good news. We've collected enough money for the budget. You want to know where it is? It's in your pockets. Now, I get it. Some of you are on a tight budget. I get that. We all are. Some of us are living paycheck to paycheck. And some of us, you know, have a little bit more. And if we are willing to look through the lens of abundance rather than scarcity, then we have everything that we need. So let me ask you an important question. Are we a church of scarcity or a church of abundance? I'm asking. Oh my goodness. Okay, let's try this again. Are we a church of scarcity or are we a church of abundance? That's better. Now we're getting there. Are we a church of scarcity or are we a church of abundance? We have everything that we need. We do. We have a beautiful building. We have power, air conditioning, paid staff. Do you know how rare it is that you have a full-time pastor? I know there's at least one person in this room can tell you what it's like to be without a pastor for a while. But I can tell you that there is a shortage of pastors right now. And not every Lutheran church right now has a full-time pastor. Why? There's fewer people going to seminary. Why? Because they don't see the value of what they are being called to do. We need to pray about that as a congregation. We should. Because pretty soon, there's going to be fewer and fewer of us. So you don't know how lucky you are. I'm just kidding. My point is this. We have everything that we need right here. We have to trust that with Christ, we have more than enough. Without Christ, we have nothing. But Pastor, how do we afford to purchase the things that we need for our church to grow? With Jesus, there is always enough. Without Jesus, there is never enough. But how do we upgrade our technology so that we can better equip ourselves to be a modernized church? With Jesus, there is always enough. Without Jesus, there is never enough. Now, I know. You're saying, yeah, but we just don't know where all of it's going to come from. Well, I got news for you. With Jesus, there is more than enough. Without Jesus, there is never enough. By the way, why is it so important to give thanks to God for what he gives us? Tell me. Because Jesus gave everything up for us.
And you know that.
Yep.
Blood and that great two-step church.
That's right.
At the soul of God.
Thank you, brother. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget that everything that we have has been given to us for a purpose. We simply have to utilize what we have as a church to become a more abundant church. Because I'm asking you again, are we a church of scarcity or abundance? Do you believe that? Sort of. I'm getting some sort ofs. That's okay. Am I not? Hello, is this on? Okay, can you hear me okay? Look, everything that we have as a church has been given to us with a purpose. We are called here as disciples of Christ to use what God has given us. All we simply have to do is figure out how to do that. And that happens through prayer, through supplication. That's just a fancy word for asking God for what we need and want. And we have to trust that God will provide everything that we need. Now, for those of you that are sitting there and going, but I can't give more, that's okay. But you may be able to volunteer your time. You may be able to figure out another way to give. Whatever it is, my brothers and sisters, just know that with Jesus, there is more than enough. Without Jesus, there is never enough. They collected 12 baskets of extra food, all the leftovers, right? And what do we do with leftovers oftentimes? We put them in our little containers. We search. It takes 20 minutes for me to find a lid sometimes. But you find a lid and you put it in the refrigerator. And then when you are hungry, you simply reach in and take it out because you have an abundance. But we don't think that way. Sometimes we are stuck, stinking thinking. That's what I'm calling it. We get in our stinking thinking that we don't have enough. We do. We do. We simply have to trust that God is going to provide us with the answers and the will and the resources to do everything that we are called to do at this church. Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. You've got to believe it in order to manifest it. And God will honor that, I promise you. Let me tell you, part of the reason why it took me so long to make a decision to go into ministry is because I knew that going back to school, I'd have to get student loans. I knew that. And I didn't want to do it. I had just gotten a hold of, finished almost paying off my student loan from my undergrad. And here I am going to seminary, graduate school, and I just couldn't fathom how I was going to financially make it happen. But you know what? I prayed about it. And pretty soon, here's a letter from the seminary. You've just been awarded $10,000. Here's another letter. You've just been awarded $3,000. Here's another letter. You've been given this as a stipend for something. And I was like, pretty soon, before I even went to school that first day, my entire first year was paid for. Now, did I manifest that? Or did God make it happen because I had been called to ministry? I believe that God manifested my blessing and that God gave me everything I need in order for me to survive and thrive in school. Semester after semester, I'm in the registrar's office and I'm going, well, I don't think I have enough to register this semester. And he goes, yeah, you do. Here, you got some scholarship money here that just posted and everything up. What? I do? Every semester I went through this with the registrar's office. Every semester. Up until the very last semester of school, I still remember it very vividly. Very last semester, I was $5,000 short for registering for school. I had no idea where that money was going to come from. I was in tears. I walk up to the registrar's office and I said, look, I don't know what to tell you, but I don't got $5,000 and I've only got one more semester to finish. Please tell me that I can register. Hold for just one moment. Ms. Rivera, you already paid for this semester. What? You already paid for this semester. I assure you, I did not pay. Well, somebody did because your last semester is paid for. I later found out that my best friend's mother had sent a check to pay for that final semester for me. With Jesus, there is more than enough. Without Jesus, there's never enough. I knew that I was being called to ministry because every step of the way, God showed up and God helped me remain faithful to my call so that I can fulfill what he had for me. And if none of that had happened, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you today. It would have been impossible. And so I challenge you all, sometime this week, I want you to clear your mind. And just for a moment, I want you to think, if financial resources were not an issue, what would you like to see happen at our church? What would you like to see manifested here? And what does that look like? And how can we get there? Don't think about the finances. Think of the vision, because I promise you, if I can open my brain and like pour it out right now, this whole sanctuary would be full. You know, sometimes God puts things in our minds, and even though I have no idea how some of my ideas are going to come to fruition, what I do know is that God is going to be present and that I'm going to trust that God is going to continue to be faithful to this congregation as he has year after year after year. And that with the people we have in place and the resources that we have, it's going to happen. I know that in my bones. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. I know that. I need you to believe that. Because with Jesus, there is more than enough. Without Jesus, there's never enough. And I want you to spiritually hunger and trust that Jesus will provide every single time. And when we do that, we will become a more abundant church than you can ever imagine. Imagine it, think it, manifest it, and then trust in God always. Amen.